Just before we come to read the Word of God and preach forth His truth, let's take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before Thy throne of heavenly grace in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the way of access. We come by the new and living way, the way of the precious shed blood. We thank Thee for the blood that our Saviour shed for the remission of our sins. And, O God, we plead that precious blood now in all of its virtue and in all of its victory. And we cry to Thee that as we come to read Thy word, that we'll hear Thy voice speaking to us. And then as we endeavour to preach it forth, we ask that Thou wilt minister Thy truth in the power of Thy Spirit to all our hearts, that we will receive the blessing that Thou hast for us. So we look unto Thee, we ask that Thou wilt draw nigh to us and speak unto our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You'll find our scripture reading in the New Testament scriptures in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Philippians, and we'll commence reading at verse 9, the ninth verse of the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians knew also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for Christ's sake. Amen. Some of the most subtle and indeed the strongest attacks of the devil often come at a time of difficulty for the believer, a time perhaps of darkness in the soul and of despondency of spirit. The archenemy of the children of God, he comes and questions the sincerity and indeed even the reality of their heavenly Father's love. He questions the ability of the Lord to provide for them and to meet all of their needs. Indeed, if we think to one of the Psalms, Psalm 77, perhaps some of the words that we find there we could identify with particularly. The opening verses of the psalm tell us of the psalm's day of trouble. And then, further down the psalm, there are questions that he poses. For example, in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Yes, at times we would despair if it were not for the word that our Heavenly Father has given unto us. And in his word he tells us that he knows, he sees, and he cares. And perhaps there's no greater evidence of that than in the words of our text, that we find here in this fourth chapter of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20. Let me read them again to you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Here we read in these verses of the fatherly provision of God for his own dear children. And that brings us to the theme that I want to consider with you. Simply, God's fatherly provision for his own dear children. And as we come to think of this wonderful provision of our Heavenly Father, the first thing I draw your attention to is simply the assurance of it. And reading those two verses, don't they in themselves, just even the reading of them, give to us a wonderful assurance? Here is the Apostle Paul, and in an earlier verse in this fourth chapter, we find that he states in verse 10, even though he has been imprisoned at Rome, that he's rejoicing in the Lord. And he's rejoicing in the Lord greatly. The Philippians had sent a gift, and that gift had come by way of Epaphroditus, and Paul is acknowledging their expression of love and concern for them, for him. But he doesn't want them to misunderstand. And so we discover then in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What he's really saying is this: I don't want you to think that I was down in the depths of despair because of my situation, because of my condition, until your gift came, and then, and only then, did I begin to rejoice. He is so thankful for the gift that they sent, and he wants them to know that, but he also wants them to realize that even if their gift had not come, he would still have been able to rejoice in the Lord. So he's saying that his rejoicing is not dependent upon the gift that he received, even though he is so thankful for what they have sent to him. No, he's saying, my rejoicing is in the Lord. He's like Habakkuk of old, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Recall the words in Habakkuk 3 and verses 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet. And then the prophet says this: yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So here is Paul rejoicing despite his imprisonment. He's rejoicing in the Lord. He's thanking them for their gift, but he doesn't want them to think that he has somehow got some special claim on the grace of God in a needy time, in a very difficult time for him, that he has found grace which isn't available to any other believer. Isn't possible for any other child of God to find that needed grace that he has found, that enabled him in the midst of great difficulty and trying circumstances to still rejoice in the Lord. And he's able to say, yes, concerning God's provision, this God, who is my God, this God who moved your heart and enabled me to rejoice in my heart in the midst of great difficulties, this God in whom I can do all things shall supply every need of yours. And when he speaks like that, he's drawing their focus onto God as a father. Because in verse 20, we read those words in Philippians 4, now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. So he's drawing their attention to the fatherhood of God, the fatherhood of God with respect to his own dear children. And there is this wonderful assurance that our Heavenly Father will provide for our every need. But there is the qualification: my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by or in Christ Jesus. All the merit of Christ and the mediation of Christ is the ground of this wonderful assurance that our Heavenly Father will indeed supply all that we need out of his infinite fullness, the fullness, the plenitude of his power, of his wisdom, of his wonderful and amazing grace. So there is the assurance of this provision coming from God as our Heavenly Father, being in his family, adopted into his family as his own blood-bought children. So there's the assurance of this provision. But then secondly, I want you to think about the administration of this wonderful provision that God gives as our Heavenly Father to his own dear children. He is pledged to supply our needs. But how is he going to administer that? He's going to administer that basically in a twofold way. He will administer that supply to meet our needs according to what he sees. And what does our Heavenly Father see? Well, we need to go over to the Sermon on the Mount that the Saviour preached in order to understand this. He sees our true worth. And when we go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, the Saviour is speaking here to his disciples. He's really, in a sense, speaking to all of the children of God. And he's emphasizing that they shouldn't be occupied with just getting earthly treasures. No, rather, they should have their minds focused upon the things above, the things that are heavenly. And in Matthew chapter 6, we read in verses 19 and 20, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So he's telling them where their focus ought to be. Yes, we're upon earth, but we should have those thoughts in heaven. We should have a focus upon heavenly things, upon spiritual things, realizing, of course, that the Lord does know that there are temporal needs, there are temporal necessities. And so he's setting down a principle by which the children of God will be enabled to live in the world, but not be possessed and taken over by the world. Hence, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26, we find these words: "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." And what he means by that is, don't have your heart filled with sinful anxiety and care. "Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father," listen again to those words, "your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" So therefore, while it's important to have temporal necessities met, over and above all of that, we want to have our minds fixed all the time on that which is spiritual and heavenly. But the Lord is saying to us here that he understands our worth in his eyes because we are his children. He sees our worth. And we can see that summed up for us in that well-known text of Scripture in John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we, as his children, are the objects of his redeeming love. And God's consideration of our worth forms part of the manner in which he supplies our need. Put it like this: he has provided for our greatest need. He has sent the one who is the mediator, our Saviour, our Redeemer. He spared not his own Son, but he gave him up freely for us all. Well, if he has delivered up his Son, will he not then have a very gracious and kind heart towards his children? Yes, he supplies our need. He administers that supply according to what he sees. And he sees our worth, that we are of value in his eyes only because we've been redeemed, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But he administers not only according to what he sees, but also he administers that supply to meet our needs, this wonderful provision, according to what he knows. And what does he know? As our Heavenly Father, he knows our real need. He knows our real need. Look again here at Matthew chapter 6. And I draw your attention to verses 7 and 8. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for, and here's the reason, your Father. The thought here is of the fatherhood of God and his wonderful provision for his children. For your Father knoweth. And what does he know? Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knows our real need. And these are words that are spoken by the Saviour here in the Sermon on the Mount just before he gives us the pattern prayer. He's enunciating this wonderful principle that our Heavenly Father has a perfect knowledge of our real need. And in fact, we discover that this is emphasized again in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 31 and 32. Listen to the words. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knoweth. And what does he know? He knows that ye have need of all these things. He knows that we have temporal needs that need to be met. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, let there be a deep realization in our hearts that our Heavenly Father knows our true need. And when we have that always before us and in the forefront of our minds, then that's going to keep us from having that carking care in our hearts, that anxiety over much in our hearts that really is sinful in the eyes of God. It will keep us from going after our own notions, our own ideas, seeking to traverse our own way and not the Lord's way, when we realize that our Heavenly Father, as a child of God, he knows our real need. And as he knows our real need, then he will administer the supply to meet that need because of what he knows. And this is so encouraging to us when we come to pray as the children of God. We're praying to our Father who is in heaven. But he's already aware of our real need, even before we ask. He has told us that. We've read that in the verse here in Matthew chapter 6. But we can come to him with great confidence, because as we tell him of these needs, we know that already he knows of them, and he knows them fully, he knows them completely, he knows them perfectly. He's aware of our condition. Yes, he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust. And so, as he will administer the supply, the provision that is there as our Heavenly Father, he will administer it according to what he sees. He sees our true value and our true worth because we have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're of value to God. The devil would have us believe, if it were possible, that we're of no use and we're of no value whatsoever. But let us remember that we are in, by God's grace, in Christ, in the family of God, as the children of God, and God is our Heavenly Father. and he will administer his full and gracious provision to us according to what he sees and also according to what he knows. But then, thirdly and finally, as we think further about this provision of our Heavenly Father, we've thought about the assurance of it. We can be assured that it's there for us. We have thought a little about how it's administered to us. But let's, as we close, consider just briefly the acquiring of this provision. This provision that the Lord has for us as his own dear children. And we're not trying to set up some kind of a legal framework here, and by that I mean I'm not saying, well, just do this and you'll get that. That would be some kind of a legal framework. No, the provision that we're speaking of here and that's revealed to us in the Scriptures is a gracious, free provision that our Heavenly Father makes because of the merit of Jesus Christ. But having said that, there are some, if I can use the word, stipulations. We've got to keep our priorities right. Back again for a moment to Matthew chapter 6 and those verses, verse 32 and 33. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we've got to keep our priorities right. The Father isn't committed to fulfilling his pledge of providing except where this priority is honoured. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. If we allow our hearts to go after other priorities, then there will be certain needs that we'll have that will be unmet. But as we pursue this objective of seeking first the Lord and his kingdom, then the Lord would dishonour himself and he would demean his own promise, which he will never do if he didn't make good his pledge. And here were these Philippians. They were earnest in pursuing the things of the kingdom of God, and they were concerned to help to minister to the Lord's servant, the Apostle Paul. And he could rightly and confidently say to them, "But my God shall supply all your need." It will be supplied, but remember to keep your priority right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then we will acquire this provision. We need to keep praying. Someone might say, well, you've just said that he knows our need even before we pray, and he does. But that's all the more reason why we should pray. That enables us to pray with tremendous confidence, because we know that the one to whom we come to pray, he already knows even better than we do our great need and our real need. And so when we come to ask him to meet that need, to give us the supply out of his full provision, we can have the confidence and the assurance that he will do so. And he does that out of a perfect knowledge of us and of the need that we have. We need to therefore keep this before us very much. We need to have our priorities right, but we also need to keep praying. We need to keep praying, because we will find that if we are losing out at the throne of grace in prayer, we're not having the fellowship and communion with our Heavenly Father as his children that we should have, that we should be enjoying day by day in our walk with God. And I'm asking you, are you enjoying that fellowship and that communion with the Lord day by day? Maybe in the midst of rather difficult circumstances. I don't know what those particular circumstances might be, but for you, things are probably very difficult at this moment. Well then, you can come and seek your Heavenly Father with that assurance that there's a provision there, that he will administer it in the way that we have been describing, and that you can acquire it, you can receive it, and the Lord will be pleased to give it to you, to honour his word and to keep and fulfil his promise. So therefore, we can be encouraged. We're living in difficult days. We're living in very testing and trying times. That's true. But we can prove the Lord. We can prove his promises that they're all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I would exhort you today to come and prove the Lord and have the Lord fulfill his promise to you. Just as Paul here in writing to the Philippian believers was wanting them to prove his God. He could speak as to what the Lord had done for him, the grace that he had found in the midst of his trials. He was still able to rejoice in the midst of them all, rejoicing in the Lord. And then he could give this word of exhortation and indeed comfort to these believers. My God, just as you sought to supply my need by sending the gift through Epaphroditus, so I have this confidence, Paul is saying, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord take this word, this wonderful promise, this fatherly provision that is there for each one of his children, and bless it to your heart and your soul. And may you be encouraged in these difficult times to still look to him, to still pray on, and to press through with your God, your Heavenly Father, who knows, who sees, and who cares. May the Lord bless his word to your heart for Christ's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we come again in our Saviour's name to thee, and we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee that thou hast drawn our attention to this wonderful promise of provision, the provision that is made for us, and thou hast made it as our Heavenly Father. We rejoice that we can come and find comfort and consolation in thy word. And O God, we thank thee for this verse that we've been meditating upon. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We ask that thou wilt bless this word to all of our hearts. Grant, O God, that we will prove thee day by day as we come to seek thee in prayer, knowing that thou hast promised that thou wilt supply our need. May we have the right priority always, seeking above all else the honour and the glory of thy name, having our minds fixed and focused upon the things that are spiritual, the things that are heavenly, yet also realizing that in so doing and honouring thee in this way, that as we continue to pray, that thou wilt grant to us the supply that we need, that will meet even the deepest needs of our hearts. We ask, O God, that thou wilt bless all of thy dear children. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in the congregation in Londonderry, that the children of God will be helped and encouraged and strengthened in the faith. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless each one and bless each family that's in connection with the congregation. We pray that thou wilt watch over them and that thou wilt keep them each one safe. We ask for that needed grace, that we will continue to press on with thee and to press through, looking on to the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith, claiming the promises that can never fail, for they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. How we thank thee and praise thee for the great work that the Saviour accomplished in our behalf. We thank thee that he lived that perfect life, procuring for us a perfect righteousness, and he died an atoning death for our sins. O God, we pray that thou would remember the young people in connection with the congregation. We think too of all of the boys and girls in the Sabbath school, and even those in the children's work. And thou dost know the restrictions that are upon us at this time, and we cannot get the outreach that we would like to the young people and to the children. But we pray that thou wilt watch over them, and may it be very soon in thy will that we'll be able to have that contact with them in children's meetings, and that boys and girls will hear words whereby they can be saved. We ask, O God, that thou wilt draw nigh to us each one. Keep us in thy fear, ever looking unto thee, knowing that thy grace is sufficient for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.